Welcome to Smash Pieces, a casual walk through the history of the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate roster. My name is Joe.
And my name is Matt.
And if you're new here, what we are doing on the show is we are playing one game for every character in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate from 1984's Duck Hunt to the 2008 release of a video on YouTube about Batman Beyond the Return of the Joker. Sorry, I had to find a date. And there's... And today's game is representing fighter number 71, Epsilon. It's Leon Kennedy, baby! I can't believe he's in the game. And representing him, we are playing the 2005 GameCube and literally everything else on Earth game, Resident Evil 4.
At most recently, a VR release.
It is.
Played that?
I have not. I don't have VR.
You know what? I probably should have realized that. I haven't either, but, like, I've seen it, and it's, like, the Stop Skeletons from Fighting video is how I saw it, and it's, like, throughout that, like, he makes a point of how, like, the way that you, like, that you heal is, like, you just, no, that the way you pick things up is, like, you pick them up and stuff them into your face. So it's like you just find a carton of eggs and you just shove them all into your mouth.
You'd never find a carton of eggs, Matt. You'd find a single egg after killing a snake. A chicken egg, specifically, for some reason.
Well, I was trying to remember how the video went.
So, Resident Evil 4, famously, probably one of the most ported video games in history. Right up there with Doom, I would say.
Yeah, just straight up, if you play video games, you have something that runs Resident Evil 4, officially.
Yeah, it's been on PC, it's been on every PlayStation at this point, it's been on every Xbox, GameCube, Wii.
I think it missed the Wii U.
It missed the Wii U, and that might actually be the only thing it's ever missed.
Yeah.
Like, it's everywhere.
This game was also originally part of the Capcom 5. Do you remember the Capcom 5?
This is one of two games in the Capcom 5 that even came out, if I remember correctly. Yep. I think the other three got canceled
straight up.
Three games, really.
Three games. And the only one that stayed exclusive was PN03. Wait, no, four games came out.
What?
Killer 7 was one of them, too. I forgot.
Killer 7 was one of them?
Yeah, the Capcom 5 was PN03, Beautiful Joe, Dead Phoenix, Resident Evil 4, and Killer 7. Dead Phoenix is the only one that never released. Killer 7, Resident Evil 4, and Beautiful Joe. We didn't actually say what the Capcom 5 is. It was five games that Capcom was releasing exclusively for GameCube, which was supposed to be a show of how strongly they were supporting the GameCube. And then all of them. Or like, the PN03, the one that you, the listener, are the least likely to have heard of, is the only one that stayed exclusive. The rest were on PlayStation within, like, a year.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, it was in, like, 4 months that Resident Evil 4 was on PS2. It was very, very short.
It wasn't 4 months, but it was less than a year.
And famously, Shinji Mikami had made... The infamous quote, though I feel like it's been revealed recently that this wasn't actually something he said, but I choose to believe it was, and I don't care, that he would cut his own head off with a chainsaw if Resident Evil 4 was ever not a GameCube exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And he's running out of heads at this point, because it's everywhere. Also, famously, Resident Evil 4, the one we got, is like the fifth attempt at making it. Famously, Resident Evil 4 had multiple prototypes that most of them ended up other games, and I think one of them ended up just not being made at all, being the Hookman prototype. But famously, one of the prototypes was Devil May Cry. Started out as Resident Evil 4, and then they realized, hey, this is nothing like Resident Evil anymore. We should just make this its own thing. And therefore, now we have Devil May Cry. I believe, allegedly, Haunting Ground, which is a horror game on PS2 that only I have heard of, was also a Resident Evil 4 prototype at first. That game's weird, and one day I hope to talk about that on a podcast, because Yeah, that game's got some stuff.
Suffice it to say, there's a lot you can say about Resident Evil 4 without even talking about Resident Evil 4.
It's probably, like, even not talking about the game, which the game, even on its own, has this as well, but it's one of the most historically significant video games ever made.
Kinda,
not yeah. just for its development story in general, but also, like, this game kind of made third-person shooters as we know them today, for better or for worse.
Even though Winback did it first, if we're being honest.
No, it didn't.
I mean, no one played Winback, but you play Winback and you're like, wait, this is just Resident Evil 4. But
bad.
But several years earlier.
And so the over-the-shoulder camera angle, like Dead Space would rather do that, and now that's just, you know, that's all third-person shooters.
Yeah, but, like, yeah, this game is, like, incredibly influential, and the, like, depending on who you ask, maybe ruined Resident Evil as a franchise.
A little of column A, a little of column B. So the thing with this is Resident Evil 4 didn't really start Resident Evil's quick turn into being straight up an action game instead of a horror game. That was 3, I would say. Because Resident Evil 3 is an action game. Nemesis is just straight up an action game thing. But this is the one that really, really cemented it. And then you had Resident Evil 5, which features, I think 5 is the one where Chris Redfield punches a boulder. That might be 6. I don't know, but it's one of them.
No, that's 5.
Is it 5? Cool. Cool, cool, cool. Among other issues with 5. And then Resident Evil 6. We gotta play that on stream. I feel like we have to play that game on stream.
We might as well play 5 first, because I have it.
Resident Evil 6.
Because I had the Switch review for that one.
Oh, beautiful.
And for this one, actually.
Yeah, I remember that. Resident Evil 6, I've never heard a single good thing said about ever by anybody on Earth.
I've heard that if you just completely stop caring if it's a Resident Evil game, then the parts where it is just a straight up a shooter are kind of fun.
I guess I'll find out one day. And then, of course, 7 went back to being, we're a horror game now, again. Which is good, because 7 and Village are very, very good. But 4 is kind of this weird mix of both of those, where, like, there are some parts of 4 that are legitimately scary. I think the first time you encounter regenerators are really scary, and then it hands you a gun that can kill them, and they're not scary anymore. But
shockingly quick.
Like, very quick, like, within an hour.
Yeah, like, they don't let regenerators stay scary very long. Regenerators being, like, the things where you need to shoot them in very specific places to kill them. And, like, you can't tell where those are without, like, the thermal goggles that you get very quickly after you meet the regenerators.
But until then, like, the way they move, the way they sound, they're really, really creepy, and they're fantastically scary enemies. There are parts with, like, the church, the enemies that are, like, sort of chanting under their breath as they come at you are kind of creepy. Obviously,
they would be if the sound mixing was better, because it sounds like ASMR. The sound file is really loud.
Like, the castle is by far, I think, the best part of the game, because it's the part of the game where it's like, yeah, now you're playing Resident Evil. You're in a map where you're picking up items to solve puzzles elsewhere. That's the only place where it actually, like, feels like 1 or 2, which, I mean, that's fine. And also, Salazar is he's so goofy. I love him so much.
It's funny how, like, this, like, the castle is almost the best because it's the part of the game that least takes itself seriously.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if that's, like, what you want out of a horror game, but this just isn't a horror game. And that's not to say that I don't think the other parts of the game are good, because I do think this game is good pretty much the entire way through, except for when you're fighting El Gigante. But it's just so weird where it's like clearly this game is at its best when it doesn't care about what it's supposed to be.
And generally, that's how a lot of Capcom games are. But like, because like, you look at Devil May Cry, which again has very distinct connections to this game, and Devil May Cry 1 takes itself pretty seriously, and then 3 onwards, Dante is this absolute dumbass, this idiot, and it's wonderful, and I think the fact that at one point in the castle, it's just like, all right, now run away from this giant mech of Salazar that is walking for some reason. Why is this here? I don't know. Salazar's short and he wants to feel tall. What do you want from him? And it's so good.
I think this game also does a really good job in making good gameplay out of player limitations, because the simple fact of this game is that Leon does not control very well. Frankly, if this were like a more action oriented game, I would almost call it unacceptable the way that he controls, but the game is built around his controls really well so that those limitations help to make the game what it is, where you can't move and shoot at the same time. You need to be very deliberate with your actions because I don't even call it tank controls in this, because it's not tank controls. It just arbitrarily limits your movement. But because the enemy placement is so careful, the level design is so careful, instead of feeling like I just can't get anything done because I'm fighting the controls, it feels really tense because I know that I can get everything done, but I'm always on like the knife's edge of success, where I never feel like it's asking me to do something that I can't do, but I always feel like I'm just barely pulling it off. And I think that works with the tone of the game really well.
Which is a little weird because Leon's supposed to be like a veteran of this kind of shit. Like, he's a survivor of Raccoon City by this point.
Yeah, that's why he can do a roundhouse kick like higher than his head.
That can explode heads if his leg makes contact.
And then he can just suplex guys and just do, like, he's still way more powerful than a horror game protagonist should ever be.
Also, this game's localization is a hell of a thing. Where's everyone going? Bingo.
That's the only line that I really remember standing out, if I'm being honest.
I fucking love that line so goddamn much.
It's a really good line.
So stupid. I love it so much. There's also... what's his name? Is it Carlos? It's not Carlos, is it? That's not his name.
Luis,
yes, Luis. The scientist who is trying to also get in and get a hold of the Las Plagas, upon meeting Ashley Graham for the first time, commenting, "It looks like the president has equipped his daughter with ballistics," and you just sort of have an out of body experience. You astral project into, it's sexual harassment, but hey, at the very least, and I can't believe I'm saying this, at least she's like 20 years old and not the usual Japanese game fare of like 16.
That's the bar. That's the bar.
That's the bar. That's unfortunately the bar. Thanks, Capcom.
It is. Yeah.
Also, speaking of Ashley, she threads the needle real well between being unbelievably annoying and being one of the best escort mission characters ever, for one reason. When you pull your gun out to aim at something, she gets behind you, even if she has to fucking teleport to do it.
So, yeah, that's pretty good. But then there's also the scene when you get to the castle where she gets captured. And that's, like, maybe the most absurdly contrived series of events I have ever seen in any video game ever.
She had to try to get, like, kidnapped like that.
Like, I'm actually legitimately angry how that scene goes.
I want to know what the plan was if she didn't put herself up against that specific wall. What was the plan? They had to set that up.
But also, like, the events that lead to her standing there and Leon not being there, because the traps only separate them because she expressly pushes Leon away from her and runs away from him for no good reason. Like, yeah, she's hiding something, I guess, but, like, there's no logical reason to expect that to happen. I'm so mad. I hate that so much.
It's also really funny, though, that, like, I don't know if you noticed any of this, but Capcom straight up put in, like, anti-pervert functions into Ashley. If she is standing on a ledge above you, if you try to look up her skirt, she will notice and she will call you a pervert. And I think she'll, like, throw something at you, which will do damage, like actual damage.
Good.
If I remember correctly, which is really, that's the bar.
Yeah. It's a low bar, but they cleared it.
I think she's relatively fine. They should have recorded more than three lines of her shouting Leon's name.
Yeah, that's probably the worst of it.
She does it a lot. She does it a lot.
But I also, I think from a gameplay perspective, she's very successful as an escort character. Mm. I just don't like her from a story perspective. I think she's a bad character.
I do like at the end when they're, like, on the, first of all, that wave racer thing sucks. That section is terrible. Oh my fucking god. It's bad. But after that, when she's like, hey, Leon, when we get home, you want to, like, how about that dick? And Leon says, no.
Yeah, that's good.
I like that.
But that's a good moment because it disrespects Ashley.
It does, and also shows that Leon's not really a fuckboy. Besides, he already has two women that essentially want his dick that he's not acting on anyways. So,
mm-hmm.
Granted, only one of them was on that island. Why is Ada in this game?
I'm sure we'll learn that if we play her side campaign. I mean,
I know why she's on the island from a story perspective. She's working for Wesker and she's trying to get a sample of Las Plagas.
Oh, but behind the scenes?
Why is she in the game? Yeah, why is she in the game?
Clap when you recognize it.
I guess? Also, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I haven't played, like, any of the spinoffs. Am I supposed to know who Krauser is? Because Leon talks as if supposed to know who Krauser is.
I feel like I looked this up. Hold on.
Because I had no fucking clue. Which, by the way, that boss fight.
No, you sure aren't.
Oh, boy. Rad. Well, Leon does. Cool. That fight, by the way, not terrible. Reminds me a lot of some of the shit that would be in Snake Eater.
So I've heard people say that fight, like, is really difficult. They don't like it. It sucks. I beat him first try.
Yeah, I beat him first try. It's not hard. I just think it's cool in terms of, like, raw gameplay and setting and all that.
It's a good fight.
Yeah. It's the only good fight. Well, Salazar is a good fight if you bring fucking rocket launcher and end it in two minutes.
Yeah, it's a good fight if you remove the gameplay from it.
Otherwise, it's sure a fight. Legitimately, if you're playing Resident Evil 4 for the first time, just buy two rocket launchers. Go into that boss fight. He's dead.
I don't think I liked any of the boss fights in this game.
Here's the thing about Resident Evil. There has never been one with good boss fights. Ever.
Yeah, because, like, I get it. Like, I get it. The whole survival horror thing, it's supposed to be like, oh man, you're just wasting all of your ammo here and having a difficult time, but it's not, like, it's not difficult fun, it's boring. Yes, it's tense to waste all of my ammo on something, and that will have consequences later, but I'm also just sitting there throwing grenades nonstop and just not really doing anything exciting to dodge attacks. It's just not, it's not interesting, intense gameplay.
I think future Resident Evils do it a little bit better, because, like, there is a trend that becomes like, oh, boss characters that aren't bosses that you can't kill, deal with it. Like Mr. X in the Resident Evil 2 remake. You can't kill him. Just got to avoid him. But he's objectively a boss character. And then, of course, when he is a boss that you can kill, he sucks every single time. Or like Jack Baker, who actually, now that I think about it, might be the only exception to this rule, because the first two fights with Jack Baker are fucking awesome. Because one of them lets you drive a car into him, and the other one is a chainsaw duel. Objectively, the best. Everybody else, though, fucking...
Someday I'll play another Resident Evil
you
game.
You should play 7. 7's great.
I gotta play them in order.
You should play Village. It's literally just Resident Evil 4, but better. And, like... I don't know. I think the only boss fight I sort of like is I don't remember the dude's name, and I never will. The big guy in the trench coat, when you're fighting him in the burning barn, and he's turned into the thing that's, like, walking on the holding onto the rafters or whatever. That's a fine boss fight, I guess.
Oh, that's, like, the fight that my brain goes to when I'm like, let's, like, think of bad boss fights in this game.
Oh, for me, it's the final boss. That final boss sucks. That final boss sucks a lot. I have yet to actually play a single Resident Evil where the final boss isn't terrible. Maybe Village is the best I've played, but even then, like, it's not so much bad as it's... I barely remember that fight. But I fucking hated Saddler. That fight sucked. The thing with Resident Evil is that they took this huge left turn into being super action-y, but they aren't good at action.
No, they really aren't.
Like, all the worst part, all my least favorite parts of this game are the parts where it's like, now we've decided we're done being scary, now it's time for action. Go. Get on this minecart and fucking die 7 times. Fuck you.
Well, yeah, because that's kind of what I was saying, where it's like it stops being tense and just becomes really boring, because it's trying to be exciting and have interesting things happen, but it's failing at that a lot.
Yeah. And again, I think they're really good when they do try to be scary. Regenerators for the first half an hour that you've met them are fucking terrifying.
Mm-hmm. And that one boss fight in the sewers, I'm not going to say it's a good boss fight, because it's still a boss fight in Resident Evil, but it's the most enjoyable fight, I think, because it still feels like a horror fight.
Wait, which one's in the sewers? I forget this completely.
It's the one where, in my mind, it's Venom from Spider-Man. It's not remotely Venom from Spider-Man, but that's what my mind thinks of it. It's like the thing that, like, it hides up on the ceiling and, like, attacks you with its scorpion tail. Like and there's a door that's like, you have to wait for it to slowly open before you can even get out of this enclosed space with it. It's like, that one's a bad boss fight, but it still feels like it's trying to be horror, so there is still something interesting happening.
You know what else is another enemy that's very scary when you first encounter it, and then never again in any of the other situations, is the blind dudes. The blind Wolverine dudes. Where you have to shoot their back, And if they hear you, they will run at you and slash with big Wolverine claws.
Oh, these guys. Oh, I don't think I ever realized that these guys were blind.
Yep, they're blind. They can only find you via sound.
I never picked up on that. I'm going to be real with you. I just kind of fought them normally. I did pick up on the fact that they were only vulnerable from behind, but, you know, I didn't realize they were blind.
Yep. That's why there's a bell in the room the first time you fight one. It's to distract it.
Hmm. You know, that sounds like it makes the fight a lot easier.
Yeah, it does. And then after that, they'll put you in a room with like two of them. And then there's that one time where it's like, now you're in a cage and there's a bunch of people with crossbows on the outside of the cage who are also shooting at you. And that part fucking sucks. But like, they're scary the very first time you meet them. I think the best scary while also being action part is the first sequence in the village where everybody's coming at you.
Oh, that part.
That part is fucking great. It's the best. It's the single best sequence in the entire game, which is probably why most people remember it and mostly it.
Yeah, well, yeah, that part ends with the title card because they know that they just had a mic drop moment.
Yeah, and it's terrifying because it's just a bunch of these slow moving people with like fucking pitchforks and shit, and you hole up in a house, and they don't stop coming until it's time for bingo night, and it's great.
Yeah, and at that point, you don't have any idea what's going on in the story. Like, this is just happening, and it's like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, it's
like, great. It's really good.
And then it's, you know, an action game from there. How many birds did you shoot?
Not that many, but...
Always shoot birds in Resident Evil. I've learned this.
You told me that relatively late into my playthrough, and I'm like, okay, and then I did, and I got stuff for it.
They drop money. They drop a shit ton of money.
You know, harming small animals is an early sign of social.
Nah, it's fine. They're infected crows, probably. At least in Resident Evil 1, they actively attack you. In Resident Evil 4, they don't do anything. They're just there. Because, you know, they're fucking birds. This is where they live. Did you shoot the blue medallions?
I did do that.
I forget what you get from that. Do you get the magnum from that?
So do I. It can't have been that very interesting.
Yeah, I guess not.
Either it wasn't that interesting, or it was so fundamental to the game that I forgot you have to do a side quest to get it.
I think it's one of the better handguns in the game, but I don't remember what it's called. I don't really care enough to look it up. Oh, the merchant. The merchant's pretty good. There's a thing we haven't talked about.
He's fine. I kind of expected him to be a bigger deal, given how much people talk about him.
He's a meme. He's just a meme. His voice lines are the greatest voice lines on the GameCube.
So, he feels like someone went back in time knowing that the merchant was a meme and then added him to the game.
I like him because he's very, very clearly more attached to the events of the game than he's letting on. Because, like, his eyes are glowing. He has Las Plagas. And it never explains shit about him. No other character ever comments on him. Nothing. And I kind of like that. They sort of do that in Village with the Duke, who is the shopkeeper in that game, except while they never explain what his deal is, he plays a lot bigger of a part in the plot, because he'll straight up like explain the plot to Ethan. And the merchant doesn't do that. Merchant just says, hey, do you want to buy a grenade? Here you go. Well, it's been good talking to you. See you later. Come back when you can sell me a beer stein with 3 jewels in it. And I kind of love that. Game. I love. Yeah, this is a weird game. It's a really, really fucking weird game in a lot of ways. But I think overall it is a good game for the most part.
For the most part? Is there a particular part that you're thinking of?
The island sucks and I don't care what you say.
The island is fine and people are cowards.
The island sucks.
I'm not going to say it's the best part of the game, but like I get to it and it's like I'm so primed for it's like, oh, at this point the game just becomes awful and it's just not even the same game. And like it's fine.
Hate the parts of this game where it's like you are now in a corridor and everybody's shooting at you. It's time to fucking go. Because again, as we've said, Resident Evil's bad at action.
I do also hate that, and it's not. I don't think that the island is significantly more like that than the rest of the game.
Yeah, but I think it's the worst because there are the most enemies in the entire game.
I guess, but it's not like they've got like I expected dudes with assault rifles, and it's like no. A lot of guys on the island don't even have guns.
There's dudes with miniguns.
Yeah, but those are like the big enemy at the end of the room.
Also, I think there's dudes with rocket launchers, if I remember correctly.
Okay, there's also dudes with crossbows, and from a gameplay perspective, those aren't really any different. Like, there are dudes with crossbows in the castle, and like,
no, 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 you're gonna start. A crossbow is not significantly different than a rocket launcher.
From a gameplay perspective, it is not.
They're not. What do you think happens when a rocket hits a rock and when a crossbow bolt hits a rock?
Okay, so don't get hit.
Rockets explode, Matthew.
Okay, yeah, later in the game, it should be a more difficult game.
I'm not going to let you back away from basically telling me that a crossbow and a rocket launcher are the same thing. You can think what you want about the island. That's not...
When you are in Resident Evil 4 trying to deal with enemies, it is a ranged weapon that you really don't want to get hit by, and you should probably target that guy first.
Yeah, but a crossbow isn't going to instantly kill you.
Okay, so get good, scrub. What do you want from me? You've been playing for 8 hours at this point. Get better at the video game.
No, I refuse. It's against my core beliefs as a person.
I really don't think that the game significantly changes at the island. I really don't. I think the biggest problem with it is that up to this point, the game has been really well paced in terms of its story, and the story is, like, effectively over. Like, you just beat a big boss who is, like, the guy that's been bothering you this whole time, but now it's like, you think the game is about to end, and instead you're, like, around halfway through.
Well, you gotta go save Ashley.
Yeah, and I don't want to do that. That's...
She's the president's daughter, Matt!
The problem with the island is a meta problem, where I just don't think the story is good enough to support going on that much longer. But, like, the island itself, in a vacuum, it's fine. Like, I don't think it's a bad part of the game.
I think it sucks. And to be perfectly honest, I didn't even know that people disliked it when I played.
It's all I hear about the island is that it's awful.
I never really hear anything about... I don't remember what I have heard. The chainsaw people, I think, were the main thing that I knew about the game. That might be it, actually. And Salazar, because he's funny. And also he's the only villain in the game who's just like, I'm going to take over your Kodak conversation. I'm just going to fucking talk shit for like 3 hours.
More villains need to do that.
It's great. I loved it. Salazar is great. Salazar should be the main antagonist of this game.
I mean, it's like I just said, that's why the island is a disappointment.
Sadler's just specifically boring. Sadler is so boring.
I like legitimately forgot Sadler was in the game until you mentioned him.
And he's the main antagonist. He's supposed to be the big bad. And he's so boring. Well, you know, allegedly there's a remake that's going to be potentially released this year.
It better have the attaché case, because that is, frankly, the best inventory system that has ever been in video games.
Which Village actually brings that back, the attaché case.
That's how you know it's a good video game.
Seven uses the same inventory system as Five and Two Remake. Which, fun fact, the remakes have actually been pointing towards RE4 a good amount.
That's what I've heard.
Especially 3, where it implies that Nemesis and the Lost Plagas actually come from the same fucking source. Which is kind of cool. And also, they made Nemesis a lot more Lost Plagas-y in the remake. He can essentially, like, attack zombies and turn them into Lost Plagas people, where their head explodes and they've got tentacles and shit.
I've also heard that in the remakes, like, Resident Evil 6 is canonically impossible.
I wouldn't be surprised.
What I've heard the theory that, like, they're just remaking games, and then they're gonna get to a Resident Evil 6 remake, and it's just gonna be a different game.
I hope so. Period. That would be hilarious. I want that with all my heart. I don't even have an opinion on RE6. I haven't played it. I want that with all of my heart.
I think that is, like, a very funny scenario to imagine.
But, yeah, I don't know why it's getting a remake. I don't think this game needs a remake, but also money.
Money.
It's gonna make money. It's gonna make a lot of fucking money.
Yeah, it's like, I genuinely don't understand people that, like, hear the words Resident Evil 4 remake, and you go, why would they do that? You know why they would do that.
It's gonna make a shit ton of money. Sure, from, like, a functionality and availability perspective, why the fuck would you bother doing that? But, like, because it's gonna make money. They can't charge $60 for Resident Evil 4 anymore.
but you doesn't need a remake. So? When has that ever stopped anyone?
Like, they can charge, if they remake it, they can charge $60. If they put it on PS5, they can charge $70.
Sounds like it does need a remake, then.
My wallet says it needs a remake.
I was talking to my accountant, and he really recommends making a Resident Evil 4 remake.
Why was your accountant talking about that? You don't even work at Capcom. Well, you know.
He's a big fan, you know?
So that'll be fun, even though it sounds like the development of that game has been a shit show. Because it's already been scrapped and started over and moved back to Capcom.
A little bit. Kind of like Metroid Prime 4.
4 might just be, you know what? Maybe Japan has a point. 4 might be a bad number that we should stop using. I don't have anything else to say about Resident Evil 4. I talk about the music, but it's a fucking horror game. There's nothing.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to say about the music either.
Like, I love horror game soundtracks, but the fact of the matter is, very rarely are they songs.
I legitimately do not remember any of the music in this game. Not a single song.
That's because none of it has, like, a melody, except the boss fight themes, which are just, like, generic church singing.
This is the second non-canonical episode of Smash to Pieces that in a row that we have recorded where we get to the music section. We're just like, I don't know. I don't got anything.
I mean, I like the Regenerator theme.
And also, it's the first one that people are going to hear.
I mean, you can't really, like, it's not a song. I wouldn't call it a song, but it's got a creepy vibe to it, and that's pretty much it. That's it. That's all. It's, yeah. It's just a horror game soundtrack. Anyway,
I want to bring up a song. I've got nothing. I guess there's the song where it just goes dun, dun,
dun. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
It's like the song that always plays, like always.
Is it Infiltration that you're thinking of?
Fuck, I have to find this now.
I genuinely have no fucking idea what track you could possibly be talking about. And I did a podcast on this game's soundtrack.
Yeah, I guess Infiltration is the one. I don't know.
That's the only other one I could think of that I'd point out.
It's like playing during like action scenes. I don't know.
It usually plays during the build up to like an action sequence. It's very Metal Gear in a lot of ways.
It's a good game though.
Yeah. Resident Evil 4 is a pretty good game. I don't think I'll ever replay it, but it's a pretty good game. I'm not like the people who have fucking... just like it, I don't think it has as big a speedrunning community as the first three games, because the first three games have a lot more ability to be cracked open than this one, I feel like. But there are people who know this game like the back of their fucking hand and could play it blindfolded if you asked them to. Those people are insane, and I respect them dearly.
I feel like final thoughts on Resident Evil 4. I feel like this is a game that I could just like, every couple of years, just pick it up, play through it again, and just have a good time. This would be a great game for a randomizer. Actually, this would not be a great game for a randomizer. It's like hilariously linear, but
yeah, it's super linear. But like Resident Evil 2, I think some version of it had a randomizer built in. So
that sounds fucking awesome. More games need official randomizers.
Maybe look into that.
Still waiting on that official Metroid Dread randomizer. Mercury Seam, if you're listening to this episode based on a game you did not make,
hit me up.
You hear me?
Matt has some ideas and you should email him.
Because they're clearly not, like, I'm emailing them, and they're clearly not reading those, so they might as well email me.
You should email Matt with your complaints at neilronahan@nintendoworldreport.com. I have that with Resident Evil 2, the remake of RE2, I think is the one where I could see myself going back and replaying it every couple years. I don't think I'd have that with 4. I liked it. I didn't like it that much. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about our next game. We got a lot of video games to talk about in our life, and only a small number of years in which to do it, relatively, based on the age of the universe. So, our next game is representing Fighter number 51 Epsilon, Geno. It is the 2003 Game Boy Advance title, Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga.
Yo, have you played this game? Because this game owns.
I have not, actually. I think I've played the first, like, hour. But I've never really sat down and played it.
So, Paper Mario is like baby's first RPG. This is baby's second RPG.
I am a baby.
Like, this is a turn-based RPG that where the action commands are like so turned up from how they are in Paper Mario, where literally every single attack in the game can be fully dodged. It's not easy to do that, but every single piece of damage that you can take is dodgeable.
Nice. Interesting.
There are what's called bros attacks, where Mario and Luigi like work together to just do crazy damage, where like it's got wild action commands to do them. It's just generally the combat system in this game, I think, is one of the most active and fairly engaging turn-based RPGs ever, where like the act of the buttons you're pressing on the controller, it's awesome.
What controller, Matt? This is a Game Boy Advance.
The GameCube controller on the Game Boy Player accessory, and the or the Wii U gamepad on Virtual Console.
No, you can't do that anymore. That's illegal. Nintendo got rid of it.
But there's also just like the style of humor, I think, is more, I don't want to say more grown up, because that kind of implies like adult humor, but it's more, I want to say, I think it's better than it is in Paper Mario. Paper Mario has a better sense of like place and world building, but Mario and Luigi is funnier.
So the only Mario and Luigi game I've played a significant amount of was Bowser's Inside Story, which I did not finish. And this would have been when I was in high school, so it would have been in like 2010. So, you know, 12 years ago, I remember nothing about it. I know Yoko Shimomura does the music for the series. Well, did the music for the series. The series is dead. rest in peace, Alpha Dream.
Yeah, Paper Mario doesn't need to be an RPG because we have Mario and Luigi. Oops.
Whoops. Well, shit.
Someone messed up that order.
Went a little too far in a few places. So, I have heard that these are the games that give Luigi, like, instead of fire, he gets electricity, and more games need to have done that.
Yeah, that also, like, Luigi's a real character. And also, someone told me this recently. I don't know if it's true. I don't think it's true. But if you play this game on the Game Boy player for the GameCube, and you plug in a second controller, one person can control Mario and the other can control Luigi. That sounds fake, but is it true? I don't know.
I have no idea. I have also heard this from the same source, I assume.
I had to say it because I heard it. There's no way that's true, though.
Make sure you tweet at Matt if it's true or not. That's at Enron. I don't know why I've decided that the joke of the day is to just send everything to Neil. I don't know. I'm interested in giving this game a shot. I think it'll be fun. I've seen the sprites everywhere for most of my life because they're probably some of...
They're like the Mario sprites.
Yeah, they're like some of the best sprites of the Mario Brothers there's ever been. Yeah, I don't know. That's all I have. I don't have anything else to say about it. Yoko Shimomura does good music, and I'm looking forward to it.
This game owns. I've never played the 3DS remake. I don't know if that one owns.
I've heard mixed things about, because it was that, and didn't a different Bowser's Inside Story also got? No, which one also got a remake? It wasn't just Superstar Saga. It was a different one, wasn't it?
It was Superstar Saga and Bowser's Inside Story.
Yeah.
They skipped Partners in Time because they knew it was the worst one.
I forget Partners in Time exists a lot.
In truth, I haven't played Partners in Time since I was in middle school, but in middle school, I hated that game. And then I never even attempted Paper Jam.
But... I don't know really anybody that played Paper Jam.
Oh, yeah, there was a Luigi Dreaming one in between there?
Yeah, Dream Team. The only thing I know about Dream Team is that Ben played it and hated it.
I own Dream Team. I played Dream Team. I think it says a lot that I legitimately did not remember it exists.
Rad.
Year of Luigi,
year
everyone.
Year of Luigi! I forgot that was a fucking Year of Luigi. I don't have anything.
Financially, one of the worst years in Nintendo history.
So it truly was the year of Luigi. Fitting for the poor boy that can't catch a break. I have nothing else. I'm spent. Alright, well, if you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at Smashterpieces. We're also on YouTube at Smashterpieces, where you can find VODs and also episodes. It's pretty cool. That's the place you could go. You can also go to Nintendo World Report, where you can find not only Smashterpieces episodes posted on the website, but also a bunch of other shit. Like my manifesto on playing Kingdom Hearts on the cloud. It's a good thing Sora was never in Smash, because that would be awkward. And yeah, that's pretty much it. You can follow me on Twitter at StringPixel. Matt is at GrimaceDuminis. He doesn't usually edit these episodes, but you can follow our usual editor, Peter, at Pete Speakeasy. He's pretty cool. I do a show with him called Original Soundchat, where we talk about video game soundtracks. I did an episode on Resident Evil 4.
See, that's the April Fool's joke here, saying that Joe makes good podcasts.
Yeah, that's the the joke.
No, I shouldn't say, Soundchat's actually like a legitimately good show. I don't want that joke to be in podcast anymore.
But yeah, there's not really anything else that you could follow. That's it. That's all we have.
Follow Nintendo World Report on TikTok.
Yeah. There's a clip
There's a Smash Their Pieces clip on it.
There's a clip of me playing Majora's Mask 2 years ago. Was that 2 years ago now? Oh, God.
There might also be a clip of the, like, the N64 online stream we did. Like, it's when I checked, it wasn't on the TikTok, but I found, like, an edited version of it to be in portrait on, like, the NWR Google Drive. So maybe John put that on TikTok?
We'll have to ask Soul. She's my only source for TikTok. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.